We will now take testimony on House Bill 1281. Representative Flowers is apparently not available.
Edelstein's in appropriations. He's one of the, one of the bills. Flowers got the other.
I believe he's in room 464, not 468, I believe, but I don't know that.
He's a little guy with glasses.
Mr. Gregerson, did you sign in?
No, I will.
If you would please sign in, thank you. Anyone who's contemplating testifying on any bills, please. Please sign in the register.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you would allow, I would make the pitch for Representative Flowers, and then perhaps we could go on to opponents and then allow him a little additional time at the end.
We'd be very pleased to. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If it's all right, if I just do it from here. We heard the gentleman last meeting who spoke of trying to supplement his income and then losing his job, and he is a constituent of Representative Flowers, and Representative Flowers and I have had discussions about this bill, and Representative Flowers' philosophy, if I can put it that way, is that you have earned these other incomes. If you look at page 2 of the bill, the portion struck out where we talk about pensions, annuities, retirement payments, disability pensions, military retirements, and so forth. And these are items that you have earned and should come to you regardless of any other income that you earn. And I think we would all accept that. Then if you take a job and for reasons that are not your own fault, reasons that would allow you to collect unemployment, you are then penalized because of your previous military service, for example, and you're collecting a military pension, or because you happen to be an older individual. Representative Flowers feels that this, frankly, is a form of discrimination against those people. And that in these particular areas where you have already earned a benefit, that benefit, in fact, should not be reduced by virtue of you losing a job. And I realize that Social Security isn't reduced, but you're trying to supplement that income. And in fact, you're telling people who are in this category, we really don't want you to work, because if you lose that job, you're not entitled to unemployment, or you're entitled to reduced unemployment. And so that was the reason for Representative Flowers bringing the bill. It's a philosophical argument. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand by to answer questions on his behalf until he gets here, and we can go on with other testimony.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Any other proponents to House Bill 1269? I would remind the committee that Eldon Stanfield is the gentleman from Huron that provided testimony and is the individual who provided the copy for your review in regard to his unemployment insurance benefits. Any other proponents? Any opponents of House Bill 1269? Any opponents? Oh, I'm sorry. Got the wrong bill here. Sorry. 1281.
Chairman? Maybe you've already found it, but Representative Flowers is on taxation, and they would be meeting right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, my name is Don Katke, representing the Department of Labor. And we need to oppose this bill for two reasons, but maybe before that, let me make clear exactly how the present statute is applied. When someone files an unemployment claim, we first look to the employers that are financially reliable for that claim, which usually is the last one that goes back no more than 18 months. And then we find out if any of those, and those employers then are funding that unemployment claim, and we make the inquiry if any of those employers are also paying a pension to that worker. And if so, then that pension is deducted from any unemployment the worker receives, but only the amount that the employer funded. The amount that the worker, the portion the worker pays of that pension, we ignore, because that's just a return to the worker of their own contribution. So we have examples of people that leave military service after a career, they earned a retirement, they go out and start a new career, maybe get laid off for no reasons, that's their fault, and then file a claim. Those pensions are not deducted because that's prior to 18 months before the claim is filed. That military service is not the one that's making them eligible for the unemployment. We need to oppose this bill for two reasons. One is that we think it'll create a situation where an employer is required to pay a double benefit to a former worker. If this provision is eliminated, you can have a situation where if you're an employer, for example, and you have a long-term employee and you funded a pension for that employee and you have to lay him off, and that worker then is eligible for that pension. You, the employer, are paying that pension, and he's also eligible for unemployment. So you, the employer, are also paying that unemployment. You're paying him a double benefit for basically the same time period. The other reason we need to oppose this bill is that it creates a federal law conformity issue. This is one of the areas where the federal law, Federal Unemployment Tax Act, puts certain restrictions on what states can do. And states do have some latitude, but the federal law requires that the state have at least some provision in their law that addresses how they handle pensions. And this would create a conformity issue because it would completely eliminate this provision about pensions. I asked the U.S. Department of Labor for an interpretation of it. They informed me that this would put South Dakota out of compliance with the federal law. And the penalty for that is very steep. What it does is subjects all the employers in South Dakota to a loss of their federal tax credits that they now enjoy. That tax credit is $378 per worker per year that employers could lose if the state gets out of compliance with federal law. The last thing I'll just mention as a fiscal note, our estimate, which we think is pretty good, is that the cost of this bill is in the range of $225,000 a year. Benefit payments would go up roughly that amount if this pension deduction were eliminated. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Katke. Any other opponents? House Bill 1281. Opponents? Seeing none, I will offer Representative Flowers an opportunity to provide some testimony at this time. I presume you're on the proponent side of this.
Yes, I was, Mr. Chairman, but I didn't hear all the, I haven't heard the testimony I got here.
Representative Olson did a good job for you.
And Don was just wrapping up when I got here, but I brought this bill because it just doesn't seem, to me it just still doesn't seem that if I'm paying unemployment on a person, he's entitled to draw unemployment, but he's not working. That just bothers me that because he is getting Social Security, and he didn't get his Social Security for me, for example, this person that was here the other day, he doesn't, it's a part-time job, or I shouldn't say part-time, but he's been working as much as he could, driving truck for this guy. He was retired from his other job. He hadn't worked for this guy for years. He just, probably in the last 2 years, he's been driving for this fella. And so he gets laid off this winter because of the cold weather and everything. So, he hasn't, it isn't, he's drawn his retirement or from what has been paid in by the person that he's working for today. But I just caught a little bit of what Don was talking about when I came in here, and in if in fact this violates federal law, I suppose there isn't much we can do. But it just, to me, I brought it because it just didn't seem right to me that if I'm paying full unemployment on somebody, he should be able to draw his full unemployment if he's laid off. Basically, that's what I think.
Thank you, Representative Flowers. Appreciate it. Are there any questions of the committee? Representative Bogalka.
Representative Flowers. Oh, excuse me.
I'm sorry, Lou. Okay. I have a question for Representative Flowers. On this handout that we got from Mr. Stanfield, it says the deduction is $89 a week. Could you give us some kind of an idea what his compensation benefits were per week that this was taken from?
No, I don't, represent.
Representative Olson?
If you recall the testimony, he said this halved his compensation. So yeah,
about half.
Yeah. Than half.
Yeah. Okay.
But he also told me, and I don't know whether maybe Don could elaborate on that a little bit, because that he had been self-employed most of his life, that he was going to get more, or was getting more than half, or was going to, that was going to be revised because he had paid in his own Social Security, so he was entitled to more money, and that's another thing that seems kind of strange, but then.
Mm-hmm. Representative Siebert.
Representative Flowers, if you have an individual working two jobs and he loses one of them, would he be entitled to unemployment from one of those jobs if this is passed?
I don't know. He should be. If he's working, he should be entitled to unemployment. But
maybe we'd refer that question to Mr. Keggy.
Yeah, he would.
Would you?
He's the guru on that.
Come up to the microphone.
To answer your question, Representative Siebert, it depends on how much income he makes from the job he still has, but he could be eligible. And we do have a lot of people that, for example, have a full-time job and a part-time supplemental job and lose the full-time job, and they do receive partial benefits because they're reduced to only part-time work.
Follow-up question?
Yeah, I'll follow up to Don because Flowers referred to him anyway. Workman's comp was originally set up to maintain a certain standard, a minimum level of money if you were laid off. Is that a true statement?
Unemployment compensation,
yes.
You mean? Yes, it is. That's a true statement.
Thank
you. I have a question. Congress this past year passed a law that allowed someone 65 years and older to earn as much money as they want to and still draw full Social Security benefits. Do you anticipate the compliance law that you were talking about to change because of that?
I haven't seen any indication that Congress intends to change this particular compliance law that affects unemployment compensation.
Doesn't it seem kind of at odds when Congress says on one hand you make as much as you want to, but if you get laid off we're going to penalize you? That seems to me like two different ends of the spectrum.
Somewhat, because it seems to me that that's an incentive to keep people in the labor force or to encourage them to stay working.
Any other questions? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not as familiar with the unemployment system as maybe I should be, but let's take this particular individual, and I don't know if you know the particulars, but his unemployment basically was halved because of his Social Security. Is there any relief then for the employer? Does the employer have to pay less into the unemployment fund? Is this just gravy to the state? I mean, what happens in these situations? The $225,000 you're talking about, is this money that employers are not paying into the fund, or where is this dough?
There is a benefit to the employer in the sense that the benefits are totally employer financed through employer taxes. So as benefits go out to workers, employers basically fund that back in by future tax payments they would have, so though that employer tax payments would be reduced in the future. So in effect, they would pay less tax money, or it's actually the other way around. If the benefits go up, the employer is going to pay more tax money in the future to basically pay that money back into their account. We carry an account balance on our books for every employer in the state, and you know, it's just a bookkeeping account like your bank account is, and we add your tax payments to that, and we subtract the benefits we pay to the workers from that company, and that company just has an ongoing balance in their account. And that's what sets the tax rate. As the balance goes down, the employer pays more taxes and vice versa.
Follow-up?
If I could have one follow-up. Let's assume that you and I each have a business. And your business is a full employment business, and you just don't lose any employees. You don't lay anybody off. Nobody quits you. And, gosh, I just have all kinds of trouble. I'm a seasonal business, and it gets to be winter, and I lay people off. Are you in a position where you, in effect, don't pay because your pot is full and I pay all the time? Or is it a rising tide lifts all boats? Because no. I got trouble, you got to pay.
That's exactly what happens. My tax rate can go to zero, which a lot of firms, that's what happens to them. And you, if you're in a seasonal business, have a lot of claims, you'll be up at the maximum tax rate probably all the time.
Representative Glinsky.
My question just has to do with the Social Security deduction. I'm assuming that it's based on the fact that in most cases, employers pay half of the Social Security assessment and the individual pays the other half. The information we were given was that this person was self-employed, in which case he would pay all of it. Would that have any effect on this end result?
It would. I'm glad you asked that, because we've asked this gentleman, I can't recall his name, for some additional information, and I think we can actually fix his particular problem, because we do have a few cases where the self-employed, he's funded most or all of his Social Security. In that case, we don't deduct anything because it's all his own money he's getting back. We didn't know that until I actually talked to Representative Flowers. I think I maybe talked to this gentleman from here, and also, and after we found that out, we made another contact with him, and we're actually making a redetermination on his claim. In most cases, we deduct half because that's what the employer paid in Social Security.
Thank you.
Hearing no further questions, we'll close the committee to discussion and or action on House Bill 1281.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Madsen.
I move deferral to the 41st legislative day.
Motion to the 41st day. Is there a second? By Siebert. Any discussion on the motion? Representative Olson.
This seems an unjust situation, but given the federal compliance laws, I don't think there's anything we can do. But I do think the point that you raised, Mr. Chairman, is a good one and a crucial one. It just doesn't make any sense at all to me where the United States Congress says to older Americans, you stay in the workforce and supplement your income as much as you want to until you get laid off. And maybe the next congressman or senator or somebody can do something about that.
Representative Broderick.
Representative Olson, you're sitting right in between two of them.
May I answer that?
No, you. We're going.
I don't plan to go back to work on anything else, so it exclude me from that category.
Motion to 41st day, no. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. Nay, the secretary will call the roll.
Legalka.
Aye.
Frederick.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Glinsky.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
Madsen.
Aye.
Nestlehoff.
No.
Olson. Peterson.
Aye.
Solem.
Aye.
Belandra.
Aye.
Siebert.
Aye.
Knode.
Aye. That motion passes. Committee, please